according to science, Robert Pattinson is the most handsome man in the world.
I mean, he's a handsome guy.
I don't know.
There's no question about it. What is it that allows them to come to the conclusion that he is the most handsome amongst all the rest of us other mere mortals?
It's Anna and Raven. The golden ratio of beauty pie, Raven.
Okay. Yep. Sounds like science.
Well, it is science. And this is the whole thing, is that years ago, they came up with this way to calculate a man's face that determines whether or not they're attractive. Here is somebody a lot smarter than me explaining how they did this.
Okay.
What Pythagoras realized is that plants and animals grow according to fairly precise mathematical laws. And the Greeks found the patterns were based on a particular geometrical ratio. It wasn't until the Renaissance that an Italian did the maths. He figured out that the key to beauty was the ratio of 1 to 1.618.
Is that David Attleboro doing the vocal for this? Because if that's David Attleboro doing that, then I fully now believe whatever it is that they're saying.
I think it's a Greek god. I'm not really sure.
No, that's not a Greek god speaking from the heavens.
So here's how they do it.
He just sounds like it.
What I've done is I've brought in a measuring tape, and I have figured out how to calculate a man's face to determine whether they're good-looking or not.
Wait a minute. Math isn't your strongest subject.
No, I know, but look at my notes. Look at my notes. There, I am 100% ready to do this.
Yeah,
so I gotta come over, I have to come over to your microphone. Where's the measuring tape?
This is science. Is there my, the measuring tape is right over there.
I'm coming.
All right. Okay.
All right. Come here.
All right.
All right. We have to share this mic.
Okay, good.
All right. Where's the measuring tape?
It's behind you. I pointed to it. Okay. It's right there.
All right, first thing you have to do is we have to measure the length of your face.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to measure from the length of your face. Stop talking. Hold on.
It's getting taller now. My hair is going back.
9 inches. I feel like the more your hair goes back, possibly how it might affect this.
Yeah.
Now I have to do the width of your face.
Okay, good.
So the width of your face.
You just put a pen on my face.
Sorry.
Is there a pen mark on my face now?
Okay, 12 inches.
You didn't answer the question.
No.
Did you put a pen mark on my face?
You'll be fine. All right, next we have the forehead hairline to the spot between your eyes.
Oh, see, now this is where it's going to get questionable now. All right?
Hold on, I got to do it this way.
Go from the inner marks, not the... You almost hit me with the pen again. Go from the inner marks, not the outer marks.
3 inches. Now we have to go from the bottom of the nose to the bottom of the chin. We're calculating, if you're just tuning in, on whether Raven is attractive according to Greek science.
Okay.
Stop talking. When it says the chin, which chin do... Like, the bottom of the...
What? Are you serious right now?
Okay, I got my stats.
This is so wrong.
Hold on. All right.
Must have felt so good for you today.
Gosh. All right, so let's figure this out.
Are you putting things in the calculator now? What are you doing?
Now I'm doing the math. So now I take the length of your face divided by the width.
Yep.
And that equals 0.75.
Okay.
And now, it's not looking good for you, Raven. Now we have to do 3.
Are you sure you measured right?
Divided by 3 equals 1. That's good news.
Okay.
Oh, you're not bad.
Oh, what a great payoff for me.
0.75.
Yeah.
Then I divide that by 1 equals... Okay, so if you were attractive, you would be 1.618.
You're 1.618, okay.
But you're only 0.75.
Wait a minute, Tom. I'm not even half attractive.
Right. If there were 100 guys, you would be like at 40%. You would be 40%. 60% of men are more attractive than you.
This is when you're bad at math. I think it's actually worse than that.
Well.
And I'm in the lower percentile.
All I'm saying is that it's Robert Pattinson, Bradley Cooper, and Brad Pitt. So it seems that you're in the low.
And then me.
And then you.
Cutting the grass around their homes for the rest of my life.
There you go. I was fired by my GI doctor. Is that even normal for a doctor to fire a patient? Have you ever even heard of such a thing?
I mean, that's got to feel bad. You don't feel good about yourself. They didn't say, like, go home and get your affairs in order, right? What did they say when they called you?
They didn't even call me. They made the nurse call me.
Oh, that's a cop-out right there, Doc. That's not cool.
I'm Anna. That's Raven. 1-800-330-9999. Have you ever been fired by your doctor before? It was the strangest thing. So I've been seeing the same GI doctor for... at least 7 or 8 years now.
Right.
I got a lot of issues. You know, I'm not going to go into too much depth because you...
Yeah, please don't.
I won't.
It's early in the morning.
Right. Raven knows enough to know that I shouldn't.
Right.
But I called because I was having an issue with the medication and I was like, hey, I'm like, this isn't working, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you called your doctor for doctor type stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we do when you need somebody to help. You call a doctor.
And the nurse called me back the following day.
Uh-huh.
And she said, hi, I have a message from you from Dr. So-and-so. I said, okay. And I thought it was going to be like, hey, I'm going to try something new.
Right.
You know, but I call
in
the prescription once you come in.
Yeah, that type of thing. Normal doctor stuff again.
Dr. So-and-so would like for me to tell you that she doesn't think there's anything she can do for you, and she wishes you the best. I was like, what?
The nurse broke up with you.
The nurse broke up with me.
It's like seventh grade. They call you on total phone back in the 90s and break up with you.
I don't know what's worse, getting broken up by a text from your doctor.
Right.
It's like when you, exactly, when you're in middle school and Johnny's best friend, Anthony,
calls you.
And tells you,
or he flips you a football note, note, you know, folded up like a football,
and says,
right to you in class. See, this may be hard for you to understand, young people now at this point, is that we did not have text messages or instant messages before.
So we used to have to write things on pieces of paper, fold them up like footballs, and then flick them at each other across the classroom.
And if you had three people on the phone at the same time, that's what they called total phone.
Right.
And only your rich friends had total phone on their home phone. Nobody else.
Not rich people. I had total phone.
No, it took a little while to get the total phone.
Right.
Total phone was out before your family brought it into the house, whether you know it or not, Anna Zapp.
Either way, my doctor fired me, as soon as she said it and the words came out of her mouth, I was confused.
Right.
I was like, what?
It doesn't sound real.
Right.
I got to be honest. I've never been fired by a doctor. But one thing that's happening is all my doctors are just moving away. So I kind of feel like maybe it's like that Adele song where the guy like moves to
another
continent.
Country. Just to get away from you.
Just to get away from her so he can get a new pretty young wife or whatever. And no, he doesn't want to get together and work out the damn old feelings.
So that's the thing is that you start questioning yourself as a patient.
Right.
I only have to go see her once a year just to fix my medication or whatever.
I mean,
and I'm like, what did I do wrong?
It can't be the first time they saw that rash.
Right. There's no way. I'm the only one that has these IBS issues in the world.
Oh, I go, man.
Last time I was there, she made me wait an hour. I didn't even complain to her face. And still you fired me? You made the nurse fire me?
You didn't blast him on Yelp or anything like that,
no!
Right? Yeah, there's no reason here whatsoever.
If you've ever been fired by your doctor, 1-800-330-9999. Or if you know a really good GI doctor that'll take me on, can you reach out, please? I was fired by my GI doctor. I mean, who even knew that a doctor could fire you? And she didn't even have the nerve to call herself.
I know.
She made the nurse call me to tell me that there's nothing else that they can do for me.
It's
terrible. I wasn't expecting it. Right. It was like being like laid off when you don't see it coming.
Or it's seventh grade and somebody else walks up to you at the lunchroom and dumps you for their friend.
Oh.
That's just terrible, man.
I'm Anna. That's Raven. It was the strangest situation. I called because my medication was expensive. I didn't think it was working very well. I wanted to see if there was another option. The next day, the nurse calls and says, there's nothing Dr. So-and-so can do for you anymore. We wish you the best.
To be clear, you hadn't called them 17 times for this.
No.
And every time you went in to talk with this doctor, you went in for an appointment. So you played their game and they had no interest in playing the game back with you. It's a little bit different for me. My doctors don't fire me. They just leave the state to get away from me.
It's
been like three of them.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of comical at this point.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Were you ever fired by your doctor?
I mean, yes. I can't even believe that this happened to other people. I thought it was just us. But yes, I was fired by my doctor. It was actually the wife. She's the office manager, and she got mad because I refused to pay a $15 copay on a follow-up of a PPD, which the insurance company told me I didn't have to do that. And then she went along and sent the whole family letters that they could no longer service us.
When I approached
the doctor about it, he said there's nothing he can do. She was 50% owner, and he felt bad, but there was nothing he can do.
So he just throws it back on his wife and goes, yep, she's here. She's got 50% of everything. Wow. That's quite a cop-out from a guy who's got a degree.
Yeah, that's
nuts. Not like we didn't have a relationship, and she just, like, destroyed everything.
This is a thing. So, you know, overbilling, it runs rampant in the medical industry. And you see this, like, with your physicals and stuff like that. Like, if you really read your policy, certain things are supposed to be included. It's a lot like fighting with the office manager is, like, trying to get them to accept the coupon at, like, the grocery store.
Right, but then they can fire you.
Right. It's true. It's too much power for one person.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Did a doctor ever fire you?
No, a doctor never fired me, but I run an automotive repair shop in Brooklyn, and I have to tell you that the new thing that happens in customer service is that we fire difficult customers.
Wait, so you fire people that come to you for a new muffler? I gotta know.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Wait, am I difficult?
Absolutely.
You think...
I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you.
Maybe
what I'm saying is that when a customer comes in, it's not always about, and we don't feel the customer's always right anymore, or in a doctor's office, the client's always right.
It's amazing.
It's about customer service and a flowing process, and when people complicate that, we fire them as customers.
I mean, I didn't. Now I'm like questioning every interaction I've ever had with this doctor. I'm like, was I nice?
Did
was
you she slight annoyed? Them? Did you roll your eyes?
Was she annoyed that I had to bring my children to the appointments? Maybe she got tired of seeing the kids in there. Oh my God. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Did you ever get fired by your doctor? You could also head to our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. Just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you call 911 for any reason besides the fact that you have a real emergency happening in your life and you need assistance, that is all I need to know about you.
But I did think it was wicked cute when that kid called a couple weeks ago and ordered a Happy Meal and then they brought it.
Right.
That was nice. That's community outreach and that was really nice.
But he was a kid and he didn't understand. This call is from a...
I don't understand.
Well... He really needed that Happy Meal.
Right.
This is a grown woman. Listen to this 911 call.
Because I'm in a taxi right now, but it's not going to get me to the station on time for my train to board at 9:45.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're in a taxi cab and you think you're going to be late for your train ride at Union Station?
Yeah.
And so what would you like an officer to do?
Do you guys offer emergency ride services?
Well, I can assure you we don't do that.
Right. Uh-huh. Like a skycap.
Yep.
I love it. Have you ever tried to flag down a skycap, by the way, when you're at the airport and you're not waving a 20 or a senior citizen? Because you need one or the other to get that thing.
Right. Let's hope that senior citizen doesn't wait too much for you to wave them.
You know, they usually don't. They've thinned out by that. By that time, they've thinned out a little bit.
If you think that cops are Ubers to get you to do your train on time, that is all I need to know about you.
You know, the arrogance of something like that, just the waste of resources to have somebody pick up the phone. I wish that you could issue tickets over the phone.
Right.
You know, like immediately there's a citation that's going to cost you some money.
The only upside to this was that the 911 operator was so snarky with her.
Right.
If you listen to the entire thing. And I'm like, you know what? Good for you.
But they don't need that either, man. They got problems with that stuff when they're not, when they sound too indifferent, when people are in real emergency.
Right, but she doesn't need, like, she doesn't
There's
have to
no
be nice
help
to that
from
girl.
This phone call.
This woman,
no, you're right.
That 911 operator should have slammed the phone down in her face.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to miss your train? Oh, that stinks.
I'm telling you, quick citation right there. If you break things when you're frustrated, that's all I need to know about you.
You do that all the time.
No, that is not true.
You throw things when you get frustrated.
Well, I've only kicked the trash can in here a couple times. That's a little bit different. All right? That's PVC. It's not going to break. It's a light plastic.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, if somebody had looked out the window of one of their houses, they might have seen a grown man near to tears putting the vinyl siding on the side of the garage. Let me tell you, man, that was not the Tetris game that I thought it was going to be.
You thought it was
going
to be easy,
It was hell.
Oh,
it was absolute hell. And I almost took the ladder and threw it right through my fence.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. Remember when you went to anger management class?
Yes.
Right. Maybe we should go back.
No.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Do you use your cell phone on the toilet, Riv, and be honest?
I mean, everybody does, right? Mm. It's part of the biggest pleasure of going to the bathroom is getting in there, getting a little alone time with your cell phone.
It's disgusting.
Reading the news, not... getting caught up on the world affairs.
Santa and Raven.
You know you do. Don't act like you're the only person on the planet who doesn't use their phone in a bathroom.
No, I do. But so here's what's going on. Dakota is sick. And I was like, why is she sick? She never leaves the house. Like,
right.
She doesn't go very many places. Although I did take her out this past weekend, which I'm wondering if that's the culprit. But I was like, what could make her sick? And then I thought about it. I go, it's probably my gross cell phone because I never clean it. Turns out only 16% of Americans actually clean their cell phone.
And your baby does handle the cell phone. She's butt dialed people from time to time.
She loves my cell phone. I think it's because it's always in my hand, so she's always curious.
Right.
So a lot of times she's just playing with it. She gets her little chubby finger and she swipes. And she's always swiping things. And...
Sure, she's mocking you.
Right.
Well, she's not mocking you. She's imitating you.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she puts it up to her ear and like she's talking on it. And she's
who knows who she's calling?
Right. Well, I don't know.
Creditors.
Mickey, Elmo.
Right.
I don't. Right. Yeah. Telemarketers. No clue. But then I started doing some research because I'm like, oh, how dirty really is your phone? Because you always hear that, oh, it's the dirtiest thing in your house, blah, blah, blah.
It's nasty.
Oh, it's nasty.
Yeah.
Cell phones are 10 times dirtier than toilet seats.
Wow.
You are better off licking your toilet seat.
Why go
than
there?
Than putting the cell phone to your ear.
Yeah.
Ew.
Why go there? But, you know, you also believe in a strong immunity, you know, immune yep. system. So this is kind of like, you know, you're always constantly under fire from germs. You didn't even know it. The amount of descriptive terms that they use to describe the stuff that ends up on your phone, just the thought of fecal matter flying in the air is always a terrifying prospect. To me, anyways. Maybe it's not so scary for others. But for me, I don't know if that's a phobia, but I don't like the thought of it.
Oddly, out of toilet seat, kitchen counter, pet food dish, the checkout screen at the grocery store, and a doorknob, the toilet seat, cleanest of all of them.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Who would have thought?
I know.
Maybe we should change where dinner is.
I would think so. Also, 80% of men say that they use their cell phone on the toilet compared to only 69% of women.
Okay.
So that kind of, I guess. 96% of Americans under the age of 23 won't go to the bathroom without their phone.
Yeah.
That's almost 100%.
It's amazing, right?
Right.
I mean, think about where we were like 10, 15 years ago. That would be unheard of, you know, bringing the phone into the bathroom. Even if you had one of those super long cords that could reach from the kitchen all the way to the upstairs bathroom, which everybody had in their kitchen before.
So would you? How often do you clean your cell phone?
I would say that if something has to get on it that I'm like, that I'm like, yes, I need to clean that. So not often enough as compared to any other item that I own.
Right.
Certainly less than anything else that I do. What do? Right, you wait for it to rain and you wipe it on your jeans.
Right, you wipe it on jeans.
It's kind of like my front windshield of my car.
Yeah,
it never gets so clean as when it's raining.
If there's a smudge, sometimes I lick my thumb and I do that.
Right,
and I just wipe it off.
Right.
In retrospect,
have you ever licked the entire front screen because you're just like, this thing is so nasty,
so dirty? Let me use my tongue.
Let me just
to clean
get
it.
Get some moisture on here and then wipe it across the sweatshirt. Have you ever done that?
Yes.
I mean, I think I've done that once or twice.
It's disgusting. That's why Dakota's sick. That's 100% why Dakota's sick.
Right.
What's your cooking confession? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. You know, that one time you had to make a cooking decision that was pretty questionable and you weren't really sure what to do.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, myself as a guy, when I'm cooking, it's typically because my wife isn't home because she doesn't really want to endure my cooking. She thinks it would be a sweet gesture, but when the results are questionable.
Mm.
So there's nobody there that I have to take their peril into account. I've stirred a lot of insects into Velveeta cheese and shells. A lot.
Dana and Raven.
It's thick. You can't get anything out of there.
All right. So hypothetically speaking, if you spent hours making the perfect sauce,
delicious,
but as you dropped the fresh pasta that you spent so much money on,
bellissimo,
into the boiling water, you spot out of the corner of your eye two dried dead bugs in the water, floating with the boiling water and the fresh pasta. Would you A, use the pasta scooper to take them out and say nothing to your family?
Okay.
B, reboil the water and use a lesser pasta that you've had in your pantry for at least 6 months, longer.
99 cents a box.
Yep.
Stock up, people.
Or C, admit the truth to your family, knowing that they will make a big deal out of it and not eat the dinner that you worked all day
Anna,
making.
Why you do this to us?
Mm.
It's upsetting. So it wasn't in the sauce, though. It was in the boiling water.
It was in the boiling water.
You still couldn't get it with the scooper. You couldn't get it with the strainer?
No. It took me a while.
Yeah.
So here's what I did.
Yeah.
If this happened to my family.
Hypothetically speaking.
Right. I took a good amount of time. Now, the dry dead bugs that I had spotted at first, if I had seen them, were very hard to get with the scooper. They were very quick in their state.
Yeah, but they break up, too.
They break, yeah. So the couple legs came flying off.
And then you think you see a leg, but it could be a spice.
Who knows?
It could be like
who knows what it could have been?
I love it.
So I did. I took out the bugs. I said nothing to my family because I knew that, God forbid, my 10-year-old knew that there at some point there were dead dried bugs in this fresh pasta that cost like $6. There was no way she was going to eat the pasta. So that's what I did. Now the question is, what would you have done? You know, what would you have done, Raven?
Well, like I told you, with shells and cheese, I mean, I've done it multiple times. It's so thick, you can't get it. It's like paint. It's like when you're painting and all of a sudden there's more gnats and mosquitoes in your house than you ever knew were present before in life because they just all want to land in the paint.
Right.
What is it about paint that's so tasty to mosquitoes?
Yeah, but you don't eat the paint.
Well, that's true.
Right.
I mean, most of the time anyways. Right.
You know what I found to be very interesting? I asked on our Facebook pages, you can search Anna and Raven, a majority of people said that I should have thrown out the entire pot of water and just made the other one.
It's hard to think in that spot, though.
But in Anna's parenting group on Facebook, which is all just like parents, which you're free to join. Please join us at Anna's parenting group on Facebook. A majority of people would have done exactly what I did. Just use the pasta scooper, get them out, and say nothing to your family.
I mean, this is the end of the day, all right? Who knows what else is going on before this? You're tired. Mm. You're worn down, okay? And you know what?
And I just want that pappardelle.
They're good protein, all right? We're all going to be eating crickets down the road.
But it comes to the point where sometimes there's just some some cooking things that you do that are somewhat questionable, but you do them anyway and you keep your mouth shut. What did you do? What's your cooking confession? 1-800-330-9999. It's making sauce. I spent all day frying the meatballs and the sauce was so delicious. I even had fresh pappardelle ready to go. And it was expensive, the fresh pappardelle, because ain't nobody got time to roll out the dough anymore.
They don't give it away.
No. And as I was putting the fresh pappardelle inside the water, I noticed that there was two dry bugs. And it was disgusting. And I thought to myself, if I tell my family there are bugs in here, they're not going to eat it. So I fished it out and I said nothing.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't realize you actually fished it out. I thought you kept it in there.
No, it took me a while. And like little legs kind of fell off. In
right.
The, but you know, I feel like,
those kind of look like basil. You don't know.
It's my cooking confession. What's your cooking confession? 1-800-330-9999. Carla wrote on our Facebook page, she made a cake. She had been peeling the icing off during the day and eating it.
Oh,
but, yeah, her husband called and said one of his friends was coming over for dinner. So she just went and got another thing of frosting and re-iced the cake.
Right.
And served it as dessert.
This is like a patch on your drywall.
Yeah.
You've got a low spot.
Yeah.
You just put more spackle on there.
No
just
big
more
deal.
And more spackle. Right. She actually ate half a piece of the cake, but she just filled it in with frosting.
Just take the knife. You cut that piece
level
right
it off.
Level
it off and
you're
good.
Yes, good. 1-800-330-9999. What's your cooking confession?
Years ago for Christmas, on Christmas Day, I had left my leg of lamb in the cold garage, ready to go in the oven a couple of hours. When I went out to get the lamb, the garage door had been left open. A cat bit into the lamb. My husband and I decided, you know what? When it's cooked the way it's going to be cooked,
right, it'll be
nothing
clean.
Will be wrong.
That's right.
Fine.
It'll be sterile.
Right.
Yeah.
So we decided not to tell anybody. However, after all the champagne and wine on Christmas Day, I blurted out the truth. Nobody minded because of all the champagne and wine.
That's fantastic. I just like to imagine them all sitting around their dinner table and the cat in the window from outside staring at them and people going, is that your cat? And you're going, no, we don't have a cat.
Right.
Well, what's his problem, man?
Here's my new thing. I just think about Naked and Afraid and I think like, do you think those people care if a cat took a bite of their leg of lamb?
Right.
No.
Put it back over the fire. We're good.
What's your cooking confession? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. I had made the most delicious pot of sauce. I had fried the meatballs all day, nice and slow. I had fresh pappardelle to cook. I put the pappardelle in the boiling water. I salt it, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I stop dead in my tracks, and I look in, and among all the bubbles, I see two dead, dried up, pretty good significant-sized bugs the size of my pinky nail.
Ciao, Bella! Delicious!
So now I'm faced with, do I fish these out and say nothing to my family and serve it? Do I throw away the entire pot of pasta and then have to go into my pantry and get gross old pasta that's sitting there for 9 months? Or do we just eat it?
Yeah. Don't blink an eye.
Yep.
And then don't tell anybody.
Ever.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Here's what I did. I fished it out and said nothing to my family.
Right.
Hypothetically speaking, if that actually even really happened, Paul, husband.
To a friend?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, Hayden, your daughter, would be frozen.
She would
up.
Have a, if she knew, she'd have
she
a heart attack.
It.
She would never eat pasta again. She barely eats anything as it is. 1-800-330-9999. What's your cooking confession?
Years ago, we did a thematic dinner party, Spanish. Spent all day making the paella, the flan. And a friend was helping me serve the flan after dinner. We went out to the back porch where it was staying cool, and a neighbor dog had come and eaten the corner of one of the pans of flan.
Nice.
We immediately cut the edge away.
Right.
And didn't tell anybody and served the rest of the flan.
Delicious.
Good for you.
Delicious.
I mean, who knows the difference?
Listen, a dog's mouth is very, very sanitary.
I don't believe that,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. People make out with their dogs all
no,
the time.
No, my dog eats
well,
his own, you know.
When you see what some people do, I think the dogs sometimes are.
Hannah and Raven, what's your cooking confession?
Actually, it's not mine. But when I was younger, I used to work for a chocolate company. I can't tell you which one.
Okay.
And they actually have on their book that there is a certain amount of bug paper and hair that is allowed to be mixed
into the chocolate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And mouse feces.
What? Right?
Just a certain amount, though. Just enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Just enough.
Exactly. So, you know what? You did a great job. I'd have taken a coffee cup, grabbed a scoop of water with the bug, add a little bit more hot water, and enjoy.
Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. Somebody just saying I'm not crazy. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your cooking confession?
Good morning. I was making a tuna macaroni dish, and I made all the tuna. Everything was ready. I put in the first can of tuna, mixed it up. I put it in the second one, and as I turned the can over, I saw there was a little dent in there. And I was like, hey, you know, about dented cans, and I kind of ignored it, but I heard it in my head, and I was the only one that ate it. And 10 hours later, I got sick as a dog, and I was sick for 19 days, lost 21 pounds.
From a dent?
Wait a minute.
I don't know, but I mean, I ate that tuna casserole that night before.
Wait a minute.
And the next 10 hours later, I got sick, and I didn't stop.
If you're telling me that I can lose 19 pounds by looking for right. the cans that
I've
dented.
You're going to go look in the dented section right now today.
I mean, I'm going to live at Stop and Shop for the next 6 hours going through their entire canned food aisle.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us to let us know what they're arguing about, and then you judge who's right. Robert and Andy. Andy, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my husband just admitted to me that he's been Facebook messaging with his ex-girlfriend from high school from like 20 years ago.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like saying what?
Yeah, well, he said he jokes innocent and they're just being corny. Both happily married now. I wouldn't have told you this if it was anything bad. And he says it brings energy to our relationship.
Oh, yeah, it'll bring an energy, all right. I don't know whether or not it's good.
But what exactly did it say?
Like, reminiscing and kind of in a flirty way, like, oh, remember this and the times we had. You know, it's just flirting. You know?
No! This is, this is so ridiculous.
I just gotta ask, man, I mean, what's going on? First off, what are you doing messaging? Second off, why are you telling your wife?
Why wouldn't I tell my wife? She's my wife. And it's not a girlfriend. It was a friends with benefits. Like, she keeps on, like,
you think that's better? You think that's better?
It's not a big deal. It's like old friends cutting up, and she's freaking out about this thing.
Yeah, I think I get it.
Friends.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Are we not all adults? Can we not have, you know what I mean? Like, this is so absurd. I feel like I actually feel like I'm back in high school.
Yeah, but
with
man,
the way my wife is acting.
Come on, you haven't been married a day. Like, you know the game. Don't act like we're crazy. How would you feel if she was having that kind of conversation with her old boyfriend?
I mean, she still talks to her old boyfriend, Jonathan. I'm not the one who's got jealousy issues. It's whatever, you know? Everybody's Facebook friends with everybody. It's not some crazy consistent thing.
I talk to my ex barely. Like, we're just friends on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't
sit
there flirt with them. We don't really talk, you know? We're just friends on Facebook.
You've never talked to Jonathan.
She's not complaining that you're friends with her. She's complaining about the flirty, private, direct messages that you sent to her. Send those to her, correct?
I wish I'd never used that word. Flirty as in, like, you can't not, you know, if you've at some point in your life slept with somebody and there was a situation that's anecdotal and that was funny and it involved, you know, a hookup at the end of the night or whatever, like, it's not flirty, but I mean, like, you can't help but have that piece of nostalgia be part of the story. It's not a big deal.
Well, guys, what we do is we ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Robert, that it's not a big deal. You wouldn't have told your wife about it if it was a big deal, and maybe she is overreacting just a little bit, but they may see your point, Andy, like, just because you brought it up and you think it's light doesn't make it right. You guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Andy's upset that her husband, Robert, admits that he's been texting his ex-girlfriend. Well, he didn't really call her an ex-girlfriend. Called her a friend with benefits.
I can't even believe you repeated that. I don't care if it's Facebook, text message, whatever. If we've got relations like that and you're flirting with them, it's probably an issue.
Couples Court with Anna and Raven. He says it's completely innocent. It's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and she's overreacting.
Andy says it's inappropriate and it needs to stop immediately.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Hi, I am on her side for sure. This guy is totally disrespectful to his wife, and all this is doing is feeding his ego. He's a huge jerk. And he better be real careful, because she's probably not going to forget this anytime soon.
You know, she brings up a good point. It's like, if the minute your wife says, hey, this is bothering me, then what's the big deal? Just stop talking to that person.
And he gets more defensive in the call. I mean, I will say that is, it was Robert basically attempts to dismiss it by bulldozing right over how she feels about it. That's not going to be effective.
Yeah, but some guys are like that. They're just combative. One of my girlfriends has a husband like that, and I never understand why. Just listen to her. But some guys are just programmed like that, I think. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
Hi, I'm on the side of the wife because I do not think that she's overreacting. I think she has every right to be mad because she's the first priority and he married her. And if he's hooking up with any other girl in the past, she should have known about it before she even married him.
Right. Well, thank you so much for the call. I think that it's not hiding exes. And although I don't agree with giving your resume.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what she's talking about. I'm just going to say this. It's disrespectful. The person that you share your life with tells you what you're doing is hurting me, and you're disregarding it for your fun, flirty text message or social media conversation. It's wrong.
Yep. Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. That's not going to wash with me. No friends. No.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. She's like, you know what? I don't ever want you to look at another woman again. You see this? This is all you get for the rest of your life. You see it? I hope you like it.
Have no friends. Yep. Have no friends whatsoever.
Ever.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Andy, our audience agreed with you. Robert, you crossed the line. And even just because you admitted that you were having a conversation with an ex doesn't make it all right.
It's whatever. I wasn't planning on, like, continuing it. We just got to be Facebook friends, and we're just catching up a little bit, so it's whatever.
Yeah, well, you sound pretty caught up to me.
You're going to have to dial it down, babe.
Cut the crap, and I will. I mean, this is obviously an issue.
I think there's plenty of things at play here, Anna.
Well, we hope that you work it out and wish you the best of luck. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com. Giving Raven a week off to rest his brain. That's what we're doing.
I like to think that I deserve it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, after all these victories and after all this cash that's stacking up here, it is good for people to be able to hear the times that I've lost, though.
Right. We're calling this the week you can beat Raven. We are playing back to our favorite times that Raven lost to show that he can get taken down.
I mean, these are your favorite times, not mine.
It's Anna and Raven. Remember this time? Hey, Allie, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Allie.
Okay, Allie, here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. When that big old studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you those questions. You answer them, and then I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. Ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, Allie. Julie Andrews has a new podcast for kids called Julie's Library. Well, she'll be reading children's picture books with her daughter. What 1964 Disney movie did she play a nanny known for using a flying umbrella?
Mary Poppins.
Number two, actress Kate Hudson said Jimmy Fallon blew his chances at dating her when they worked together on this 2000 movie about a teenage Rolling Stones journalist writing about a fictitious band named Stillwater.
Almost Famous.
Number three, Greg Daniels, he's the creator of The Office, said the long-running show could come back for a revival in the future. Pam and Angela, two of the characters, started a podcast about the show. What actresses play Pam and Angela?
I don't know. I've never seen The Office.
Oh, no. All right, number four, Blake Shelton congratulated Gwen Stefani on her first country song. Their duet, Nobody But You, topped the Billboard's country airplay charts. What singing contest were they both judges on?
The Voice.
And number five, Prince Harry launched his first charity post-royal family exit called HeadFit, and they're going to provide mental health services overseas to military servicemen and women. In what city will you find Buckingham Palace?
London.
Let me bring Raven back in. All right, Raven.
Go.
Allie did well. She got 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Julie Andrews has a new podcast for kids called Julie's Library, where she'll be reading children's picture books with her daughter.
Hmm.
What 1964 Disney movie did she play a nanny known for using a flying umbrella?
It's got to be Mary Poppins.
That is correct. Number two, actress Kate Hudson said Jimmy Fallon blew his chances at dating her when they worked together on this 2000 movie about a teenage Rolling Stones journalist writing about a fictitious band named Stillwater.
Oh, that's the one by Cameron Crowe. It's a good movie. Tiny Dancer on the Bus. I can't remember it.
Almost Famous.
Yes. Oh, I'm so mad.
That's actually one of my favorite movies.
It's a good movie. I should have had that.
This one might take you down right now, Raven. Number three, Greg Daniels, creator of The Office, said the long-running show could come back for a revival in the future.
Right.
Pam and Angela started a podcast about the show. What actresses play Pam and Angela?
Jenna Fisher and... Oh, God. Kinsbury. Isn't her name Kinsbury?
No. It's Angela Kinsley.
Oh, Kinsley. Oh!
Allie, you beat him today, but let's keep going. Blake Shelton congratulated Gwen Stefani on her first country song. Their duet, Nobody But You, topped the Billboard Country Airplay charts. What singing contest were they both judges on?
The Voice.
And number five, Prince Harry launched his first charity post-royal family exit called HeadFit, which will provide mental health services overseas to military servicemen and women. What city will you find Buckingham Palace?
Buckingham Palace is in London, isn't it?
That's right, but it doesn't matter. Allie took you down today. 4-3.
Oh, it stinks. It never gets any easier. I hate losing.
Right. Well, you'll have another chance to beat Raven coming up next week on the 6th, when the jackpot's going to be up to $600.
Nice.